We have in this week's parashas V'yakub Pekudei two very, very, very long parashas. If you do Rashi's, you are to some extent exonerated. If you just do the Targum as well, then there's a lot of Targum. But as an obvious question is, why is it necessary to have these parashas when he gave all the instructions in parashas Truma and Tetzaveh? And at the end, we have Yaakov Pekudei just saying over what they actually did. So we discussed this in previous years, and we discussed that the concept of the Mishkan was a kapara for the Egel. Okay, the Egel was using initiative in the wrong way. The Mishkan was a kapara. It's called Mishkan HaEdus. What is the Edus? We'll see soon. Edus was that Kodesh Baruch Hu was mechaper Klal Yisrael. There's a kapara for Klal Yisrael for the Egel. And therefore, the concept of this week's parasha is all about Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. I did not do it because I knew what I was doing. I did not do it because I understood anything. It was only because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me that tzivui. Therefore, the main part of this week's parasha is understanding of Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, like a Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded. And based on that, I'd like to start and show you on one particular grouping of psukim. This is the most apparent. If you look in Perek Lamates, Posuk Mem Beis and Posuk Mem Gimel, the Posuk says, "Kuchol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, anything, all that Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe, kein osu b'nei Yisrael, so did the b'nei Yisrael, eis kol ha'avoda, all the work." Okay? Says the next Posuk, "V'yar Moshe es kol ha'malacha, Moshe saw the malacha, v'hinei osu oiso, behold they did it, Kash tziva Hashem like Hashem commanded. Cain also, so they did. Vayvarech oisem Moshe, and Moshe blessed them." Okay, so the Mefarshim asks, or Chaim HaKadosh already asks, if you look in these two psukim, it said three times Asiya. Cholash tziva Hashem es Moshe, Cain also, so they did. Furthermore, the next pasuk says, "V'hine also oisah kash tziva Hashem." They did it like a Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded. And then again, Cain also, so they did. V'roch oisah Moshe's in two pasukim, three times Cain also nasir. What is the idea behind having three times in the same pasuk that asir? It seems very, very repetitious. Furthermore, Rashi explains what exact bracha did Moshe give Klal Yisrael. The pasuk says, "V'roch oisah Moshe." Moshe gave them a bracha. Doesn't say what bracha he gave. So Rashi brings over here, Omalehem, he said to them, "Hirotzoin shetishre shchina b'masi yedeichem." I give a bracha that the shchina should rest in the work of your hands. What was that bracha? "V'hinoyam Hashem elekeinu aleinu." Yeah, the Tehillim of "V'hinoyam" was the bracha Kodesh Baruch Hu, was the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael. Okay? Now Rashi adds in a few extra words which seemingly don't really make that much difference. "For who echad mayut aleph mizmoirim shebetfilah lemoshe," and this is one of the 11 mizmoirim, one of the 11 tehillims that we have of tefillah lemoshe. Why is that so important? You know, "V'hinoyim Hashem Elokeinu," we know what "V'hinoyim" is. Why is Rashi have to add that this is one of the yud aleph tehillim that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote? Why is that important? What's the idea behind that? So first of all, what's this "Kain Osu" three times, and what is this "V'hinoyim" that is one of the tehillim, why it's so important? So there are three terutzim. And Reb Chaim Kaufman Zatzal actually connected all three. The Rechaim HaKodesh says that why is it called Mishkan HaEdus? We discussed at the beginning of the Shir. Mishkan HaEdus, Chazal bring down that it was an Edus, that it was a, it showed, gave witness that Kodesh Baruch Hu was Moichel Klal Yisrael to an extent for the Maisa, not fully Moichel them, but to an extent he was Moichel them, he forgave them for the hate, for the sin that they did with that golden calf. So he says in every sin, there are really three parts that can be associated with a sin. There's machava, there's dibur, and there's maisa. There's the thought behind it. There is the speech, the wording, the mouth, the ability to verbalize the sin itself, and the maisa, action. Some things only had a dibur, some things only had a machava, some things only had a maisa. But in a chet, generally, can be associated with any of those three things. So he said that since the Mishkan was a kapara, was a tshuva for the Egel, we had to have all those three elements within the Mishkan to have a kapara. The machshava, the thought that was involved in the chet of the egel, was the chochma, was a kapara. The chochma, the wisdom that Klal Yisrael put in to use in their minds to make the kelim, to build the mishkan, to this incredibly beautifully detailed kelim, that was a machshava, was a kapara for that. In the dibur, what was the machshava in the dibur? So he says, all the way through it says, Kashet Tzivah Hashem Es Moshe, means that everything Klal Yisrael did, they said, the shame mitzvahs binyan beis mikdash, the shame mitzvahs Hashem. Like we say by matzah, didn't lishmo, they say shame mitzvahs matzah, yeah, shame matzahs mitzvah. So too, everything they said was a shame mitzvah. They drilled it into themselves again and again. I'm not doing it for myself, I'm doing it for the shame mitzvah. And therefore, that was a kapara for the dibur. What was a maisa?
Building.
The maisa was an actual building. When they brought all the kalim and actually put everything together, that was the kapara. So therefore, the dibur, the machshava, the maisa was over here, the three elements. And that says that the Arachaim is the three kain osu. The kain osu over here, the three times, one is referring to the machshava, one is referring to the maisa, and one is referring to the dibur. Everything they did was in order to make sure that they have a complete kapara for the maisa ego. That's one pshat. The Ksav Sefer goes along with that, but changes it a little. And he says, they did not do it as a kapara for the ego, because then there is an ulterior motive in order to get something out of it for myself, not for Kodesh Baruch Hu. He says, Kashetziva Hashem Es Moshe means that everything they did was drilled into us three times, that it was done only for the Tzivay Hashem. In other words, the Pasuk is reiterating again and again and again that everything they did was not done for the sake of a Mishkan Ha'edus, that we should have a Kapara. If you have a Kapara, you don't have a Kapara, that's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we're building the Mishkan for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tzivui. That was why they did it. And that's why he reiterates three times, Kash Tzivah Hashem Es Moshe. That is the Ksav Sefer. The Imre Emes, yeah, the Ger Rebbe, says a beautiful thing based on the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim says, later on, that is brought down that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave permission to the Malachim to build for him a Mishkan Lamala, a Mishkan up in Shemaim, when the Klal Yisrael built a Mishkan Lamata, where they built a Mishkan down here. Okay? And therefore he says, only with the actions of human beings down here, by physically getting himself involved in the Ruchnius and the Gashmius of involving themselves in building the Mishkan down here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built as a replica, as a mirror image, a Mishkan up in Shemaim through the Malachim. So he says, "Kecholah shetziva Hashem es Moshe can also be named as a kol avoda." When Klal Yisrael did that avoda and fulfilled what they had to do with building a Mishkan, "Vayar Moshe kol Malachim hine also oisa," and he saw, Moshe Rabbeinu saw, that physically in this world there is a building of a Mishkan. Everything they did actually created a reality of a Mishkan down here. Kashetziva Hashem kein osu. Just like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the same in Shemaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that same action in Adam Malach, did the same action in Shemaim. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu saw what they did, and not only did he see the action that he did, he actually saw a building, a complete building of the Mishkan. He saw that the building of the Mishkan over here actually created also a Mishkan in Shemaim. So one is revolved in just the actions that he did. Another one is revolved in actually putting it all together and building a Mishkan in this world, which reflected and was able to build a Mishkan in Shemaim. So that's the three times Kashtiv Hashem Es Moshe. Either it is Machshava Dibor and Maisa, or is a reiteration again and again that everything they did was only not for an Eidus, not for the sake of Kapora, is only done for the Shem Mitzvah of building a Mishkan, or it was a ability to build a reality of a building in Shemaim. So Rav Chaim Kaufman, that none of these Terutzim necessarily are closer to each other. And in fact, they all complement each other. How does a person, the way to have a complete kapara, the way to have a kapara, to work on oneself, to completely cleanse oneself, in machshavor, dibur maisa, of a chet one does, is if one does it l'shem Shemaim. If one is able to work l'shem Shemaim and realize the koyach of what a chet is, and therefore get rid of the chet, not because of the oynish, but because of how that is pogum, how that is able to damage the kiddush Hashem in the world, then the ability to do that is able not only to create for yourself a better place in this world, but can create in Shemaim a reality where the incredible schus of that is able to change the olimus elyonus, the higher in Shemaim, the olimus from above. And therefore all these three, the Arachayim, the Ksav Sefer, and the Imre Emes, is actually all fits together of how a person should lead in their life, of doing tshuva, of kapor, of maisa, machshava, and dibur, the shame shemayim, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not for the own yiras ha'inush, and that is able to create incredible reality in shemayim. So let's see how, and that says Rav Chaim is pshat in the Rashi. When Rashi says the hinoyam is one of them is married to Hillim, shkoyach, we know that. What's Rashi adding? Rashi is saying, don't think for one moment that Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha was only for that generation. Don't think that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu this nevuah to say this v'hinoyam, that it should only be a local bracha that applies then. No, it applies for all generations. If a person puts in his mind, this kash is Siv Hashem es Moshe, kein osu, again and again, then this is one that you'd alef mizmori to Tehillim. This is something that applies all the way through generations, where a person is learning to Tehillim, a person is reading to Tehillim, a person is davening, this is a koyach that applies all the way through. This is something that applies to us on a regular basis if one puts in this koyach. And this is one of Tehillim. This is something relevant to us. That's how it explains Rashi. So let's see the Maisa, how it's relevant to us. In Perek Mem, Pasuk Yud Ches, and I would like to ask you how you learned this pshat over here. Okay, Perek Mem, Pasuk Yud Ches, you got it there? But Yochum Moshe, and Moshe, this is talking about V'yom HaChodesh Maharishoyim Be'echel HaChodesh Tokim Es HaMishkan. This is where they actually put everything together. This is the Shivas Yimei Meluim. Yeah, this is when they actually put everything together, Shivas Yimei Meluim. Okay? The 7 days of inauguration of the Mishkan. So if you look in Perek Mem, Pasuk Yud Ches, it says as follows: Vayakom Moshe es haMishkan. Moshe put up the Mishkan. Vayitain es Adonov. He put that Adonim. Vayasim es Karoshov. The Adonim are the sockets. Vayasim es Karoshov. Put the Karoshim are the beams. Vayitain es Brichov. And he put in the Brichim, the crossbeam that goes, the pole all the way through. Vayakom es Amudov. And he stood it up. Okay. So how do you translate the first few words in the pasuk? Vayakom Moshe es haMishkan. Yeah, Moshe put up the Mishkan. Moshe put up the Mishkan, and he put that Adonim, and he put the Karashim, and he put that. How do you learn the words es haMishkan? What's the Mishkan referring to? How do you learn Peshat in this pasuk? So all this time I've learned Peshat in this pasuk. Adam, how do you learn?
First, you say this the general,
and the rest is being the first.
So in other words, he put up the Mishkan, semicolon, yeah? What Mishkan? The Mishkan was Adonim, the Karoshim, the Brichim, the Amudim. Yeah, that's how you learn Pasuk Pshat. But it's not a normal derech, it's not a normal way to explain a Pasuk that way. You don't write V'yokom Moshe's Mishkan, V'yitin es Adonov. You say, V'yokom Moshe, da 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 da, and that is how he put up the Mishkan. You don't put up the Mishkan, V'yitin es Adonov. It's not the usual derech to have that. It's not. You don't usually have the cloud and you go into the prat. It's not a usual way of the pasuk.
Isn't the Mishkan also usually referred to?
Yeah.
The covering first.
Who says that?
Sfarno.
Oh, excellent. So the Sfarno is based on the Rashi Menachos. Rashi Menachos says the same thing. That Rashi learns in Menachos that the Mishkan over here is not referring to what we know as the tabernacle, the Mishkan. The Mishkan is a particular part of what we know, and that is the curtains. The Mishkan is referring to the curtains on top. It says beforehand, there's a Mishkan Tase Yudirios. The Mishkan you should make out of 10 curtains, and Perek Chavav Pasuk Aleph. And therefore the Mishkan over here is referring to the curtains. Yeah, the cover over the Brichim, over the Amudim, over the Karoshim, that's what Moshe put up. In other words, according to Rashi and Sefarno, what Moshe Rabbeinu did was, he put up the curtains first, and then underneath the curtains, he built up the Karoshim and Amudim, the structure underneath of that held up the curtains. Says the Sfarno, how did he do that, Adam? What does the Sfarno say? I don't have the Chumash. What does he say there? Either through a nace. It's funny, you can be quite sure he's not going to go rambling on. So he says, Eser ha'irios ma'isachos nikrum mishkan hukmu koydim ha'komas ha'karoshim. The 10 yirios, means the 10 curtains, that was called Mishkan, they put up before they put up the Karoshim. in bidei odom machzikim boy, whether it's done through, you know, people with big long broomsticks, I don't know, they're holding it up. Ve'im al derech nes kedivrayim. Yeah? Or it was done through a derech nes, or done through a miracle. So in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu put up the curtains first, and then put up everything else around it. Question is, why? Okay, that's Peshat now. So you have Peshat now. He put up the Mishkan first, and then he put all those things afterwards. Why? Why? It's not a normal derech, and if it is derech and nes, then we know there's a principle that Kodesh Baruch Hu is mamait benissim. Kodesh Baruch Hu, as much as he possibly can, runs the world according to Teva. Why in over here was it necessary to have this nes? What does it teach us? So the Mefarshim say, the Balamusa say, I'm not sure exactly who this is, but the Balamusa say that the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu building the Mishkan is a concept that we have, as we mentioned over and over again, V'osuli Mikdosh V'shachanti B'Seicham. Build a Mikdosh and I'll live within you. That doesn't say B'Seicha B'Seicham. In other words, the idea of building this Mishkan was the idea of creating a reality of a Kodesh Baruch Hu living as a spiritual essence, a spiritual being within ourselves. And therefore, when we are actually building our own Mishkan, building ourselves in order to allow Kodesh Baruch Hu to live within us, to get, make a place that Kodesh Baruch Hu can rest His Shechina inside us, we have to know, says Moshe Rabbeinu, that first of all, what's most important is to build up the curtains. In other words, what he's saying over here is that the Mishkan, the completion, what we would see as the end product, normally build up the, you know, the brichim, you build up the pillars, you build up everything else, and then you build, you put the curtains, as that is a completion. Over here, the Torah tells us that the completion comes immediately. Once a person wants to build his edifice for Kodesh Baruch Hu, immediately it's complete. It's the curtains are there. It's it. And when a person looked at from outside and saw what was going on, he saw a complete Mishkan, even though there's nothing there yet. Although there was nothing else to hold it up, it held through a nest. The reality of just wanting to put a Kodesh Baruch Hu in our lives, of wanting to make a pu'ula, or action of allowing Kodesh Baruch Hu to rest within us, that is, as far as the Kodesh Baruch Hu is concerned, is exactly what he wants. That is, you already have the finished product. You got to work underneath it, fine. So do the work to back that up, to build on that. But the complete structure is as soon as we have the intention to allow Kodesh Baruch Hu in our lives. And therefore it was worth showing that nest, to show a complete item, even though nothing was really there, for that to be a moshel in our own lives. In fact, we see all the way through the parasha that it was not even the actions that are that important, the intention, the will to build an edifice like Kodesh Baruch Hu in, that was what Kodesh Baruch Hu really wanted more than the actual product itself. It was a rotzen to do it. And that's why you see later on in Pasuk Yud Zayin, he says, "Vayehi b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashenis b'echol ha'chodesh, hukam ha'mishkan." Hukam ha'mishkan means hukam, not hok, not yokim. Hukam means it was erected by itself. Hukam. So Rashi brings down earlier on that why was Moshe hukam ha'mishkan. So Rashi says in Perek Lamed Tes, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Rashi says, it wasn't possible to put up the Mishkan. Since Moshe Rabbeinu did no malach in the Mishkan, besides just telling everyone else what to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the schus to actually put it up. No person had the strength to pick up the Mishkan, to actually put it together. Machmas koivad ha-kroshim, because of the weight of the kroshim. She'en koyach ba'odun ha-zokfam, nobody had the strength. The kroshim were incredibly heavy. Nobody had the strength to put them up. U'moshe hemidu, and Moshe was the one who was able to actually put them up. Oma Moshe v'nei Kodesh Baruch Hu, so Moshe v'nei said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, eich efshe ha-kmosel le'odom. These are massive kroshim. How am I, as a single person, able to put them up? Omaloya, Kodesh Baruch Hu said to him, "Asik ata biyodcho." You do what you need to do. Nira kemekaimoi, for he niskaf akoma elav. It looked as if he was putting them up, but he just tapped them and they moved all the way up and they stood in their place. Vezeru shnema hukam hamishkon. The Mishkan was erected by itself. Hukam me'elof. That brings a medrash Rebbe Tanchuma. Let's understand this. So Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, nobody can put out the Mishkan. It's impossible, it's much too heavy. Okay, let me ask you something else. Later on, you know, the Mishkan was put up and taken down and put up and taken down again and again and again as it went through the different masois, as they traveled. Who put it up then? The Levim. So you get a few hefty Levim, some tough guys, and they pick it up, they managed. They didn't need Moshe Rabbeinu then. So what Moshe Rabbeinu said, how can a person do this? Okay, bring us some reinforcements, get some of it and put it up. So why over here, in Melechus HaMishkan, putting up in the first time, Moshe Rabbeinu needed a Ness to put up the Mishkan? Why was that important? Why is that necessary? Why go up for this Ness? Get the Levim to do it, like they've done everywhere else. So there's a few beautiful pieces I saw from the Zayin HaTorah. And the Zayin HaTorah says that it's brought down in the Medrash many places that the Mishkan actually was in a very small moshel, a Brias Ha'olam. It was a creation of the world. And just as in Brias Ha'olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only created the Malachim in the second day, that nobody should think HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed the help of the Malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want that the Mishkan should be done by two people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only wanted one person to put up the Mishkan. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu could not bring in reinforcements. Just like the creation of the world was done by a single factor, so too the Mishkan should only be done by a single factor. And therefore the marshal of Brias HaOlam with putting out the Mishkan should be done by one person. And therefore that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was only the one to do it, nobody else. So the question is obviously asked, why Moshe Rabbeinu? Why not get somebody else? Why not get Aaron? What's the idea of Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu? Says the Zayin HaTorah, and if we see this in an incredible, you know, as we live through our lives, we see this more and more. The factor that brings Klal Yisrael together, Klal Yisrael by nature are a very fragmented nation. They are not an easy nation. Who is this? I think it was Truman met with Golda Meir, and Truman says, you know, it's not easy being a president over 200 million people. Was that the quote? So Golda Meir said, it's not easy being a prime minister over 3.5 million prime ministers. Yeah, that, whether it's true or not true, the facts on the ground, that's reality. Klal Yisrael are strong-minded, they're amkusha irif, they have their own opinions. Yeah, two Jews, three opinions, that is a way it works, right? How do you unite Jews? How do you get them all to actually believe in one thing? You see this, by, you know, the most beautiful thing you see this in Sim Daf Yomi. Sim Daf Yomi, not sure whether you had the schus to participate in learning Daf Yomi, but certainly, you know, you can have the quick way out is go to the Sim Daf Yomi. And there you see different people, different ages, Israelis, Americans, young, old, Ashkenazim, Sephardim. Yeah, okay, we had English Daf Yomi thing, but you see from people, Chassidim, the Litvaks, all get together, and it's one common goal. What is the essence that combined Klal Yisrael? What united Klal Yisrael? When one person is a stockbroker in Yerushalayim, another one was an olive grower in Tveria, what united Klal Yisrael was Aliyah LeRegel. When he came to Aliyah LeRegel, when he came up to the Regel, that was united Klal Yisrael, all came together with one common purpose. And that's why it's brought down that when Yerovon wanted to split up Klal Yisrael and make it into two Malchus, Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda, he forbade anyone to come Aliyah LeRegel. Because Aliyah LeRegel was what united Klal Yisrael. The Mishkan represented unity. The Mishkan represented a Briah HaTichon. This bina went all the way through, represented unity. Unity was a Mishkan, and unity of the Mishkan can only be done today. We don't have a Mishkan, none of the basic Mishkan is done through the Koyach HaTorah. Where we have one common goal, where we have one common interest, where you unite with a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah, with that you can unite any Jew. This is a Koyach HaMoshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this Briah, this creation of the Mishkan that represented unity, to be done through the representation of Moshe Rabbeinu, who represented Torah from Shemayim. And that is what unites us today. Okay, this was Naima Torah's Peshat. And that is why you had Moshe Rabbeinu putting them up. But why is it that you needed a Nes? Okay, what's the idea behind that as well? So you have another Peshat over here. And again, the Bala Musa brings this down. I've heard this from many, many people. Matthew Salomon said this. I've heard this from many people. And that is the concept of Loi Olecha Melocha Ligmur. We are not responsible to make sure the job is done. Sometimes the work to finish off something is incredibly difficult. And sometimes we reach a conclusion and sometimes we don't reach a conclusion. But ultimately, the fight that we have on a day-to-day basis with a Yetzer Hara is such that naturally it's impossible to overcome. Christians have believed this long ago. They said, just believe in the Savior and do whatever else you want. That's it. You know, that's a way of getting out of it. Klal Yisrael believe in this too. We also believe it's impossible. We also believe it's impossible. It says very clearly that... every day the Yetzer of a person overcomes him every day. And were not that Kodesh Baruch Hu got involved, it would be impossible to vanquish Yetzer Hara. The physical body is such that it's impossible to overcome one's taiva, overcome one's desires, just because, you know, that's the right thing to do. Were not for Kodesh Baruch Hu helping us. So Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to show within the creation of the Mishkan, allowing Kodesh Baruch Hu within oneself, that ultimately it's not down to your actions that create the reality. All you have to do is want to change, but really want. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu will see your action. You just tap the Kerashim, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you Satat Dishmaya to become the Mishkan, to become the representation of allowing Kodesh Baruch Hu to dwell in this world by just merely putting in your want to allow Kodesh Baruch Hu in. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu touched the Kerashim and it went up, and this is supposed to represent that we just got to do our very best to touch and to work hard on what we can possibly do. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu ultimately will help us reach where we can reach, but it's not up to you. You can't do anything. You need Satat Dishmaya to follow through with this. Now, I just want to carry on, finish off with a beautiful, beautiful Chassam Sofer, which is actually a Chiddush. The Chassam Sofer says, it's brought down as Machlokes in the Gemara, how many times was this Mishkan put up and put down during Shivas Me'emalun? Moshe Rabbeinu put it up and put it down. How many times? So the Gemara says, the Medrash, brought down the Gemara as well, that one man the Omer says, one opinion says, that every day of the Meluin, Moshe Rabbeinu put it up and put it down. One's up, one's down. Okay? Let's see if I can find where it says it. No, it's a Medrash. Okay? Another opinion says that it actually was put up once a day. Okay? Another opinion says it was put up three times a day. Three times a day, the whole Mishkan was put up and put down. Ask Chassam Sofer, how does that reconcile with the Pasuk in Vayikra? The Pasuk says in Vayikra that talks about a repetition that talks about the Shivas Mei Meluim, the 7 days of Meluim. Yeah? The Pasuk says in Vayikra, in Perek Ches, Pasuk Lamed Hei, Upesach oil moye teishvu yoyma v'layla shivas yomim. The Aaron HaKoyin, for all those 7 days that the Mishkan is put up and down, yeah, Aaron HaKoyin should sit Pesach oil moyed. Sit at the entrance of the oil moyed. Asks the Chassam Sofer a very simple question. If the Mishkan was taken down and put up again and again, there's a principle that the Pesach oil moyed bisman shu pasuach. There's a drasha. V'loy bisman shu mufuruk. Pesach oil moyed means at the entrance of the oil moyed, you shouldn't leave. And there's a principle that the oil moed is only called an oil moed when it's put up. You cannot bring any of the korbanos of the Mishkan unless the Mishkan was there. There's a Pesach oil moed, there's a doorway to the oil moed. So how does Aaron HaKoyen fulfill his obligation of not leaving the entrance of the oil moed if the entrance of the oil moed was put up and put down three times a day for 7 days? There wasn't an entrance, it was destroyed.
Or even once,
but certainly for three times. How on earth do you have a Pesach oil moed if it's put up and put down three times a day, or even once, exactly? Yeah, good kasha. Now he says, Shlomo Shoshachton Koidim, Shnochton Delosses Behechel Psulim. You know, and before that, you have the doors of the Hechel, it's possible. In other words, there's no din, it's not called an oil moed unless you have a proper doorway. So how does Aaron HaKoyen have 7 days living in the oil moed if ultimately you're taken down and put up again and again? So he says a chiddush. Listen to his beautiful chiddush, and it's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says in Shabbos, the Gemara says it's based on the Mishnah in Taharis, and you understand this with a moshel of the Liberty Bell, and you see how Chazal look at it differently to the way the rest of the world look at it. Liberty Bell, correct me if I'm wrong, is a bell that they rung by the America's independence. Correct? And that Liberty Bell has been worn out. It's an old bell, it's been worn out. And each time it got worn out, they redid that area that got worn out. And they say that nothing's really left of the original bell at all. It's just like the first time, the top right-hand corner got worn out and they fixed it. The next time, the middle got worn out and they fixed that. And eventually, actually, from the original bell, there's nothing left. But they call that the original Liberty Bell. Although, in reality, there's nothing left of the bell. That's the way, the United States, whatever it is, the museum, consider that bell. In Mishnayos and Taharis, there is a din, there's a halacha that talks about something becoming tummy. A kli becomes tummy. You have a vessel that became tummy. When does that vessel lose its din of a vessel? When does it lose its din of that it no longer has that, it loses its tumah? Let's say the vessel became tummy. When does it lose its din of a kli? There's no longer tummy. So the Mishnah talks about, the Mishnah says, once you have a pomegranate that can fall out from the hole, it's tummy. Okay? It's big enough, the hole is big enough, a pomegranate could fall out, it's tummy. Asks the Gemara in Shabbos, what happens in the case where you had a little hole in the kli, big enough for a, not a pomegranate to fall out, but for a small, like a zayis to fall out, an olive to fall out. So it fell out, right? And then you fix that part of the kli. Then another part of it broke at the bottom of the kli, also the size of the olive, and you fix that too. Yeah? And then you fix another part, then you fix that too. After all these ways of fixing, if you would not have fixed it, it would have been enough for a pomegranate to fall through. Do you look at it as if, end of the day, it was broken to the extent that you have a pomegranate can fall through? Or do we say that no, that since each time you fixed it, it's considered a kli?
It's a usable kli.
So the Gemara says over there, that each time you fixed it, ponim chadoshos bo lekan, is considered a new entity. It's a new kli. Once I fixed it the first time, it's a new kli. It hasn't become tohar yet. But what it means is that you don't accumulate, it doesn't have to be that you fix it all together, and only then it becomes as if it's a new entity. The fact that each time you fix it, it's considered a kli, yeah? Therefore, we look at that as if it is a new kli. It's considered it's not become bottled just because it had a total of that amount. That amount of fixing it each time is as if it's properly fixed. Okay? It's considered as if it's properly fixed. Okay, it's similar to Liberty Bell, but that's not going to go into the concept of it. Therefore, says Chassam Sofer, what does that teach us? It teaches us to explain how it worked in the Mishkan too. In the Mishkan, you didn't have to break the whole Mishkan and to fix it again to be considered a new kli. You did not need to break the whole Mishkan to take it down completely, put it back up again in order to consider that as if you created the Mishkan. We learn from this Mishnah that by merely taking away a little part and putting it back together again, and take another part and putting it back together again, that is considered as if you're building the kli from there. In other words, says Chassam Sofer, what happened actually then was that Moshe Ben did not fully take down the Mishkan and put it back up again. He took one keresh, how he did it, probably took the Bricha Tichon out, and he took one keresh down and put it back up again. Took the second keresh and put it back up again. The third keresh, put it back up again. And by doing so, that itself is the ability to completely destruct and create by doing such, Emaisa. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that is how Moshe Rabbeinu did it. In other words, Aaron HaKoyen at every time had an oil moed. He had a Pesach oil moed. That oil moed was there. But Moshe Rabbeinu stage by stage broke down the Mishkan and put it back up again three times a day. And therefore the Mishkan was there, the Pesach Ohel Moed was there, but Moshe Rabbeinu had recreated the Mishkan by breaking it each time. Like you recreate the Kli, but each time by fixing it that amount of the Zaysin. Says Chacham Sofer, that is a lesson of growth in this week's Parsha too. We learn from this week's Parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu is considered as if he has recreated the Mishkan by taking part by part. You don't have to completely smash your reality and start all over again in order to consider Aponim Chadoshis Balakan as if you have recreated yourself. By merely focusing on part by part, small steps, and working on those small steps and building yourself part by part, recreating yourself in that way, is considered by Rebbeinu Shlomo as if you've recreated yourself. You don't have to destroy yourself and start again. You don't have to forget about everything and start again. Obviously, there are certain stages you have to drop. If there are various, you have to get rid of. But within your character, within your midas, you can work on various different midas at different times and recreate them and recreate yourself, and that will be Ponim Chadoshis Balakam. Every small step is considered something big. Every small minute of learning is something big. The Chassam Sofer was once asked, how did he become the great Talmud Chochem, the great Gadol Hador, the Chassam Sofer? How did he do it? He said in 5 minutes. I became the Gadol Hador in 5 minutes. So they asked, very funny. I mean, how do you become a Gadol Hador in 5 minutes? He said 5 minutes at a bris, and 5 minutes at a chuppah, and 5 minutes at the end of davening when people are wasting time, I learned in those 5 minutes. And the hasmada that I had more than anybody else, that made me into the Chassam Sofer. It wasn't huge things. Everyone learns. But the Chassam Sofer became a different person by a little bit of recreation on a 5 minute basis. Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once made a siyum. He made many, many siyum. He made a siyum, and a very short time afterwards he made another siyum. A few weeks later he made another siyum on Shas. And that siyum, he made much more, he put much more effort, he invited much more of the family, and he put a much more effort into making it beautiful with wine and with meat, and he really put much more effort into it. So his grandchild asked him, Zaidi, why is it that you're putting much more effort into this? He said, because this is much more choshev to me. He says, why? He said, because this was a siyum that I, with the 5 minutes I made it with the siyum. I learned the Chassam Sofer, and therefore this siyum is based on only shas that I finished, on the 5 minutes I was waiting for a bus, and the 5 minutes everyone was waiting for the moil to come. Those 5 minutes, my lifetime, I finished shas with this. This is a gadlus. The gadlus is a growing on a day to day, the step by step. That is the recreation one can do to completely make a ponim chadosh, as a whole new being of oneself from that. So a cute story actually from Chaim used to say over the Amshon of a Rebbe of America. It's actually Hamadiyah last week as a whole, 10th anniversary and 10th Yahrzeit. He was a tremendous tzaddik, a gon olam. During his lifetime, he was very moist nefesh to go to a bris, to become a tzaddik at a bris. And he worked very hard to wherever he could, to travel even long distances, to become a tzaddik. And towards it later on in his years, he became weak and he couldn't carry on his practice. He found it very difficult to go ahead with this, he found it very difficult to travel, so he had to stop. He couldn't be a tzaddik anymore. One of his chassidim came in and said, Rebbe, I've got a grandchild. Mazel tov. He said, I really would need a tremendous amount if the Rebbe would be a tzaddik. He said, I'd love to be a tzaddik, but I posha can't. And if I become a tzaddik here, it'll weaken me during the day. I calculated, I can't do it. No, Rebbe, listen, how many times I have a grandchild, and to me, he said, I can't. So the Rebbe said, why didn't you become the tzaddik? Why would you become the tzaddik? You're the grandfather, you become the tzaddik. So he says, nah, Rebbe, it's a minhag to make the tzaddik, out of a Talmud Chochem, out of a Yirei Shemayim. Yeah? At least not Talmud, you're a big Yirei Shemayim. So that's why. So the Rebbe said, oh, one second, when do you say the bris is? So the bris is on Thursday. He said, oh, today's Sunday. Which means you have 96 hours to become a Yirei Shemayim, to become a tzaddik. What's the problem? 96 hours, you become a Yirei Shemayim, you become the tzaddik. This is a koyach of this week's parasha. The Gemara says, a person's mekadosh an isha, a person has kedushin to a woman and says, Amanos shani tzaddik gomor. I make kedushin to you on the condition that I'm a total tzaddik. even if the person's a Rosh HaGomel, Choshen the Kedushin. We have to, she has to give a divorce, he has to give her a get, because perhaps he was a Tzadik Gomor. Ah, you see, he's a Rasha, because Shema hear her tshuva nichnas liboy. Maybe he had a hear her tshuva. Maybe he changed his life in that moment because he wanted to become different. Because he wanted the Kodesh Baruch to live in his heart. This is this week's parasha. Kash tziva Hashem es Moshe. Again and again, we discussed beforehand that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving us opportunity to live with amongst us. Amongst each and every one of us, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is able to live. How do we allow Kodesh Baruch Hu to live within us? By doing tshuva, to cleansing ourselves. How do we cleanse ourselves of the machshava, dibra, maisa, to understanding what a chet can do? How important it is to allow Kodesh Baruch Hu back into this world, to allow Kodesh Baruch Hu back into us, and that is possible to create a reality within ourselves and in Shemayim. How do you create this reality? By merely wanting a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to merely really making a positive move to become great, we already have the Mishkan. We already have the complete product there. We see the Mishkan, we see all the Yiriyos, we see all the curtains as if it's a complete product, which stands on Pines. We just got to now work in the insides to make sure that it doesn't fall, to build up the insides, to build up the reality of our commitment. Ultimately, our commitment is all that's important. It is all that we have to do is we really want to want, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu will make a nest, like Moshe Rabbeinu just tapped the kroshim and it went up and it became a reality, and it became a structure. And this structure does not have to be done in one go. We described just taking down one pot and putting it back up again, taking down another pot, putting it back up again. This is a koyach for us to make a ponim chadoshes balakan, to create a whole new reality within ourselves, to allow Kodesh Baruch Hu within ourselves to become a mokim of Ashrois HaShchina within our daily lives. Chazak, chazak, v'nischazik.